Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps here on this March 22nd, 2026. But I first intend to deal with the general topic, or the final topic, will be the coming of the Antichrist. But I want to deal with the issues that are taking place here now, especially in the Middle East with Iran and the war that has been developing there, and how it's furthering Satan's mystery of iniquity for the unification of Iran and Russia and Turkey and the other Sunni nations for their attack into Israel in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, which we read about in Ezekiel 38 and some in Ezekiel 39. But want to make it real close here, and I'll bring it home so that we can see some of these details working out before our eyes. So, again, welcome to the podcast. It is March the 22nd, 2026, with Brother Eric John Phelps. To begin with, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of his Father in heaven, sitting at his right hand on the Father's throne in heaven, as we read in Revelation 3, that the Father has given his Son all jurisdiction, all authority in heaven and in earth to rule it. The Father has given his rule to the Son. And because the Son pleases the Father in all things, and of course they are one in essence, because the one triune God is the Father, the person of the Father, the person of the Son, the person of the Holy Spirit, it's the second person of the Godhead that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the second person of the Godhead embodied in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, hence we have what's called by theologians the hypostatic union. He's very God, very man, 100% man, 100% God. And so having purged our sins, has sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. So the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is a racial Hebrew Jewish Israelite, a descendant of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, and ultimately then through David, to be the blood seed that was so valuable and that finally came, was manifested in the flesh in the first century when he was born to a Hebrew virgin Miriam, and hence he was the seed that was promised to Abraham in Genesis 22. He was the seed that was promised to Adam in Genesis 3. Everything divulges around this one man, who is a racial Jew, who's the one who's going to enforce the Abrahamic covenant and continues to enforce it, bringing blessing and cursing upon the nations and individuals who either bless or curse the racial descendants of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, and through his 12 sons. That's a fact. It's called the everlasting covenant. Like it or not, it will be enforced, because it's enforced by a man who's very God and who cannot die and who cannot sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Matthew 28, verses 18 and following, and Jesus came, and verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Oh, now here he receives worship. The Lord Jesus Christ is worshipped. You only worship God, hence this is a verse for his deity. They worshipped him. But some doubted, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He rules it all. He rules everything in the third heaven. The vast government there, all the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the archangel, maybe more. He rules it all on behalf of the Father, who has given him that rule as the man that he is. So he commands the disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, even to the end of the age, even to the end of this present evil age that we read about in Galatians 1:4. He's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the end of the age. That's why we do some clarification with our King James Bible based upon its infallible Greek text, the Textus Receptus. So, I'm with you to the end of the age. From heaven, as he sits on his Father's throne, ruling all things. Well, this includes the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ rules over the devil. The devil is impotent in comparison to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Satan is the most powerful of all his creations, because remember, the second person of the Godhead created all things, whether they be in heaven or in earth. We read about his creation of all things in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and following. Who, namely Christ, is the image of the invisible God. That's why Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What do you mean, show us the Father? He's the image of the invisible God, namely God the Father, the firstborn of every creature. He has priority over all other creatures. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, all things hold together. The Lord Jesus Christ created Lucifer, the covering cherub of Isaiah 14, who then fell in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the earth became formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Christ says in Luke, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. The Lord never created Satan. He created Lucifer, who on his own free will became Satan. So, indirectly, the Lord Jesus Christ created Satan, and the one-third of all the angels that followed him became disembodied. They lost their bodies, and they now became spirits, evil spirits, following Satan. And there are degrees of evil spirits, because Christ said to the disciples, this kind cometh not out except by fasting and prayer. So Christ created who is now Satan and all of his demons. And Satan has a plot. He has a plan. It's called the mystery of iniquity. And during this mystery of iniquity, Satan rules all the nations, barring none. And we read in Acts chapter 27, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 14, as the Apostle recounts, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Yeah, Saul was persecuting those Bible-believing, born-again Christian people who were one in the body of Christ, and hence Christ acknowledged them as himself. You persecute me when you persecute them. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear, unto thee. Now he goes on and he states, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, all the nations are under the jurisdiction, under the power of Satan. Now this is a permitted power, because the whole jurisdiction has been given to Jesus Christ, but Christ permits Satan to rule his mystery of iniquity to bring about the mystery of godliness. and the final second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Satan and his mystery of iniquity and his coming Antichrist, there is no second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he works all things after the counsel of his will, weaving it, fashioning it, taking evil that men and Satan contrive, and weaving it and working it to fulfill his counsel, the mystery of godliness. So Satan rules this world system. He's the god of this world system, and he rules all the leaders, the presidents, the kings, the tribal chiefs of all the nations. And if any tribal chief does not want to do the bidding of Satan, he better be saved to survive what's coming for him. Or if any president or king or what have you decides not to go along with the program that he's been told to do, Satan, with his international intelligence community run by his secret societies, overseen by his Jesuits, and specifically the Jesuit general Arturo Sosa, he's going to use these ministers of the Antichrist to remove any political leader that dares to resist what he's been told or commanded to do, like John F. Kennedy. When Satan used Pius what, the sixth, to order his Francis Cardinal Spellman to kill John F. Kennedy, because Kennedy said he's going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces, among other things. And Kennedy would not allow Spellman to say mass in the White House. So you know what? We're going to get rid of him. Who's that Catholic boy think he is resisting us when we put him in power in the first place, using our Roman Catholic mob? So Satan runs the governments of the earth, and all the leaders of the nations serve him. And if they don't serve him, they are removed, one way or another. Continuing on with Satan ruling this world, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and following, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God," if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan is the god of this world system, according to the Holy Spirit as he's speaking through the Apostle Paul. Satan rules this world system, and he rules it through men that he controls. Now, we know there is angelic warfare going on all about us, with angels and demons and having a warfare. It's an invisible warfare. But what causes nations to do what they do are their leaders. The people don't have anything to do with it. It's the leaders doing what the Pope tells them to do. That's why when a Pope dies, there are what, some 150 leaders from all the nations around the world going to his funeral, because they're his altar boys. They do what he tells them to do. I quote that quote in my book, Vatican Assassins. They all are at these altar boys of mine. Donald Trump is the altar boy of the Pope. Benjamin Netanyahu is the altar boy of the Pope. Don't you dare say that Israel's in control of America. Are you that stupid? A bunch of Jews, numbering, what, 7 million people in that nation, they don't control anything. It's the leaders that are controlling those people to their detriment. And those Masonic Jewish leaders are busy serving the Pope and working together with the Masonic leaders here in America, Donald Trump and others, to do the bidding of the papacy, in furthering the Pope's mystery of Satan's mystery of iniquity, bringing it about through the Vatican, the sovereign state of Vatican City, the largest empire in the world, the richest empire in the world. Nothing can compare with it. And so, Satan is the god of this world. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." That means he does not continually sin. He will sin, but he's not going to be continually living in sin. "But he that is begotten of God that's the saved man, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Verse 19 talks about that wicked one. Who's that? That's the devil. You're walking in fellowship with God. You're seeking to do his will. You're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil can't touch you. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. It lies in the wicked one. That very wicked one of verse 18 is the same wicked one of verse 19. The whole world lieth in wickedness, namely in the wicked one, in the lap of the devil. The devil rules the world. And the only ones he does not rule are those that are saved, those that are in Christ. We are the great anomaly to his world system. Bible-believing men and women that are saved are the anomalies to Satan's matrix. And Satan's matrix cannot be perfected in his power until we're taken out of here. And so the whole world lieth in the wicked one. He's the god of this world. He rules all nations presently through the Roman papacy. The papacy has ambassadors all over the world, and those ambassadors tell the presidents and the leaders and the dictators what to do. The Pope has told the leader of Iran what to do. The Pope has told the leader of America what to do. The Pope has told the leader of Israel what to do. The Pope has told the leader of Saudi Arabia what to do. He tells them all what to do, and they better be obedient to him, because he has a mystery of iniquity that he's bringing about on behalf of his master Satan and his avant-garde, his black knights, the Jesuit order, the most powerful secret society in world history, the most highly educated, the most erudite of men ever who ever lived. A perfectly disciplined military order to bring about the universal worship and service of the final Pope of Rome to be the Antichrist. That's what's unfolding before us. That's the day that's approaching, as we're told in the book of Hebrews, to exhort one another as we see the day approaching. It's that day. It's not the second coming of Christ, per se. It's the coming of Antichrist. It's the fulfilling of the mystery of iniquity, because we know when that's coming, Christ is coming shortly thereafter at his second coming. And those of us in Christ will not be here for his second coming, because we will be translated out of here at the appearing of Christ before the beginning of the 70th week of years of the prophet Daniel, of Daniel 9:27. So, in furthering the point that Satan is the god of this world and that he rules the leaders of this world, that he has a mystery that's about to take place. You see, Satan has a design. His design is that there will be a Hebrew temple in place, that there will be his man of sin, his son of perdition, his beast, his antichrist, that will rule the world from that third Hebrew temple, and that that man will be possessed by Satan himself. As Judas was possessed by Satan, the coming Antichrist will be possessed by Satan. And that's why he's the seventh king slain, risen from the dead to be the eighth king, yet he's of the seven. He's different as the eighth king because he's possessed by Satan. So we see here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, the day of Christ, which is the day of the Lord, the time of judgment on this world, is at hand. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." That's the departure. That's the he apostasia, a specific departure. That's a specific departure. It's not some departure from the faith. That's nonsense. It's the absolute, the specific departure of the church from this world. It's when we break camp. It's when we get out of here, when the Lord translates us out of here into the air, before the manifestation of the man of sin, and hence before the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. Verse 4. that falling away, at verse 3 first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that man of lawlessness, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The temple of God is a Hebrew temple. That Hebrew temple had not been destroyed. The second temple had not been destroyed at the time for 2 Thessalonians being written. But the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 it would be destroyed. And then would be his second coming in Matthew, later on in Matthew 24. So there would be a second temple that would be destroyed early in Matthew 24. And then you have a third temple that the abomination of desolation is put in later on in that same chapter. So it was common knowledge that there would be a third temple that would be built after the destruction of the second temple. And this is the third temple that has to be built. Because this man of sin, this son of perdition, is going to be called God. He's going to sit in the temple of God. He's going to demand to be worshipped as God. Do you see the absolute critical importance of a building of a third Hebrew temple? Without a third Hebrew temple, there is no Antichrist. There is no coming man of sin. There is no coming final Pope of Rome to be slain with the sword, to rise from the dead, to be the Antichrist or the beast to rule for 42 months pursuant to Revelation 13. That can't happen unless there is a third Hebrew temple. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, that's the Spirit of God. He restrains, he letteth. Till he be taken out of the way. That's the appearing of Christ for us. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that wicked one. It's the same wicked one of 1 John chapter 5. That wicked one will be revealed. He'll be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. We read about some of those signs, or the false prophet, the Jewish false prophet of the white Gentile Antichrist is going to call fire out of heaven. Because the false prophet will be a Jew. He is going to oversee the third temple. He will oversee what's going on there for the beast. Revelation 13. It goes on. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, all men can be saved. All men can receive the love of the truth, but no man will. So therefore God has to have his elect, that he woos and brings them to Christ and grants that to them repentance and life eternal. But they could do it if they wanted to, but they won't. That shows the total depravity of mankind. Able to believe, but absolutely refuse. So Satan's the god of this world. His end game is the manifestation of his Antichrist to sit in the third Hebrew temple in Jerusalem to rule the world. So for there to be a third Hebrew temple, there has to be war in the Middle East, and specifically involving Jerusalem and the destruction of the Temple Mount mosques. Namely, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and more importantly, the Mosque of Omar, also known as the Dome of the Rock. I was in that years ago when non-Muslims could go inside that place in the 1970s, when I made a trip to Israel in 1974. And it smells like dirty feet. And there's a big rock in the center there, where the false prophet Muhammad allegedly ascended into heaven from that rock. Okay? All nonsense, all fantasy, all fairy tales. Religion based on fairy tales. And so, that mosque has to go. It has to be destroyed. And as I told a Muslim man this many years ago when I was out in California at a certain meeting that I was with, the for health people, National Health Federation, I talked to a Muslim cab driver. He was Sunni. He was Jordanian. I said, you need to go back to Jordan because there's going to be a huge war and there's going to be massive Muslim roundups and persecution here by a new right that comes to power. And there's going to be the destruction of the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. He said to me, oh, Allah would never allow that to happen. I said, oh, really? I said, well, you better get out of here. He said, oh, I have a house in Jordan. I could go there. He said, well, that'd be a good idea. Then he got real serious. And he said to me, as he was driving, if that would happen, we would teach our children to hate and kill every American we could find. Well, guess what, dear listener? That's what's coming. What's coming is the destruction of the Dome of the Rock, Al-Aqsa Mosque, and Jerusalem, and either Iran's going to be blamed for this or the U.S. is going to be blamed for it. Either way, the Jesuits will benefit because they can incite the Sunni Muslim world against America, or they can incite the Sunni Muslim world against the Shia of Iran, which I tend to think they're going to do because they want to terminate the Shia once and for all. That means the majority of the Iranian population has to convert to Sunni Islam, or it's going to be destroyed. The Shia have to go. You just heard this morning that in Iran, they're burning certain Shia mosques. Well, yeah, sure. They destroyed nearly every Shia mosque in Iraq during the war in Iraq, not to mention the Christian people that were there were killed, Bible-believing Christian people. But it's a war for the destruction of Bible-believing Christian people in these Muslim nations, as well as the Shia. And the Jesuits are overseeing this through their military leaders, their political leaders. So, the Jesuits have ordered the leaders of Iran to block the Strait of Hormuz to American and Israeli ships. The others can pass by. Well, furthermore, who made this bottleneck so important to the world oil industry? If you will read the book, The Kingdom, by Robert Lacey, he will tell you that that kingdom was established in 1932 when they made the head of the Saud family the king of Saudi Arabia. In 1934, you have the largest commercial transaction in world history when the American Knights of Malta negotiated with the leaders of Arabia, of then Saudi Arabia, because it was Arabia until 1932. Then it became Saudi Arabia, named after the Saud dynasty of the king of the Sauds, who was Wahhabi. And the Wahhabi are very fanatical, and they're running Sunni Islam today in Saudi Arabia. They control the mosques of Mecca and Medina. The most important mosque is Mecca, the second mosque is Medina, the third mosque is the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. The three most important mosques to Sunni Islam. And so, the Jesuits run the leaders of Shia Iran. Because after all, the Jesuits run the CIA, and it was the CIA that removed the Shah of Iran in 1979 and had the little October surprise in 1979 when Reagan will be elected president and the hostages will have to be kept till after he's made president, all orchestrated by the Jesuit order through their high-level Freemasons in Iran as well as in America. I believe at the time Jimmy Carter was the president, well, he was 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason doing the bidding of the Pope. Why do you think he gave away the Panama Canal, huh? To Panama. And then ultimately the Chinese control the locks with their company, Hutchinson Whampoa. I mean, the Jesuits are gradually destroying Western civilization, building Red China, building Red Russia. Don't you think for a minute they've ceased to be communists? They just changed their name. It's the same Jesuits there in Russia and China as were before the Cold War supposedly ended. So, what we have is the Jesuits are running all these entities and the ones that they're using, doing the enforcement with. Now, for all you patriotic white Americans, because my ministry is primarily to white men of white America, because we're the target for destruction. They're using the military District of Columbia. Since 1933, the District of Columbia became the military District of Columbia with Proclamation 2039 of Franklin Dandable Roosevelt, declaring a national banking holiday, invoking Trading with the Enemy Act, making everybody in the country an enemy. And for 4 days, the banks are closed. We have the run on the banks, and then we have the Congress declaring to be passed the Emergency Banking Relief Act that approves this Proclamation 2039 and 2040, later of 2040 to be given on that Thursday, later on after the Emergency Banking Relief Act is supposedly passed. And so the Jesuits brought forth their military government in the military District of Columbia with its military commander-in-chief first and foremost. And with this emergency war powers military government in place for the last 93 years, since March 9th, 1933, it made 93 years this last few weeks ago, on March 9th, 2026. And the Pope has used American blood and treasure and military to enforce his temporal power in waging war around the world for the benefit of the Pope. And this is one of them. Probably, maybe the most important one of them. Because it's in this war that Iran will cease to be Shia. And the Sunnis will take over. Same way in Iraq. Iraq will cease to be Shia. It was Sunni under that tyrant that they had before, Saddam Hussein. But it's been Shia afterwards. But after this war takes place, the Sunnis are going to run Iraq. The Sunnis are going to run Iran. The Sunnis run Afghanistan through the Taliban. That's why Joe Biden gave the Sunni Taliban $85 billion in American weapons to further embolden and arm the Sunnis of the Middle East. See how the Jesuits running Biden, how they did that? Well, the motorcycle fanatics are out today with their big, loud motorcycles, with their Harley motorcycles. Thank God there won't be any of that in heaven. So I have to turn off my broadcasting and let these sinners run by, because they're not content with merely riding their motorcycles. They got to rev them up so everybody gets to hear they're coming, because they're tough guys, right? I call it the Church of Harley Davidson. I used to be a member of that church. Thank God I left it. Okay, back to our topic here. It's going to be the end of Shia Islam. And so the Jesuits running Iran are outraging the Sunni Muslim nations. Why, they're sending a missile into Saudi Arabia. They even sent a missile into Jerusalem, and I have some debris hit the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They sent missiles into Qatar, I think. They're sending missiles into the historically Sunni nations that have all the money. That the king of Saudi Arabia is sitting on a pot of gold. You can't believe how many tons of gold he's got over there. It's for the second Sunni caliphate that the Jesuits are building. Well, they can't have a second Sunni caliphate if they have a powerful Shia Iran in place to shoot missiles into Jerusalem to destroy the third temple that would be built. So they got to eliminate any missile ability for Iran to shoot missiles at Jerusalem to destroy the third Hebrew temple. So it's bye-bye to Shia Islam, and it's welcome Sunni Muslims run by the Wahhabis. And they will have their Mecca, they will have their Medina, but the mosques in Jerusalem are going, and there's going to be a third Hebrew temple, and it will be to the delight of the Masonic Muslim Arabs also. Yes. Why do you think the leaders of Saudi Arabia, the king and others, gave Donald Trump the sword dance with his first inaugural, with his first term? They're looking at him to end Shia Islam to the delight of the Sunnis and the Wahhabis. So they treated him like a king. The end of Shia Islam was planned way back then. The other thing they were celebrating is the destruction of the mosque in Jerusalem, because the high Masonic Arab leaders want the third Hebrew temple, as do all high-level Freemasons. Every Masonic lodge is patterned after Solomon's Lodge, Solomon's Temple. So you have lodges in Saudi Arabia, you have lodges in Turkey, you have lodges in Israel. They're all working together for the building of the third Hebrew temple. So they're facilitating this war during which this war will take place, for that to happen, for the destruction of those mosques. Also going to have the destruction of Shia Muslims. That's why Trump has issued a 24-hour mandate here. I think he did it yesterday, or 48 hours, that if you don't stop blocking the Strait of Hormuz, we're going to bomb your largest energy production facility, which is on the coast of Iran there. Well, that's great, because you know what? That'll further destroy the Shia people. It doesn't affect the government. It destroys the Shia people. Don't you think for one second those people in Iran have anything to do with who runs that government? That's why those who runs that government killed, what, 20 or 30,000 of them here just a few weeks ago when they were demonstrating in the streets. The government of Iran hates the people of Iran, just like the government of the United States, the military government, hates the people of the United States, just like the government of Israel hates the people of Israel. All those leaders and all running those governments are working for the Pope, facilitating his designs. And we have to stop thinking that Israel is the people of Israel. We have to stop thinking that America are the people of America. That government in America does exactly what it pleases, as it's ordered to by the Pope of Rome through the Archbishop of New York City and District of Columbia, as the Jesuits oversee both those archbishops from Fordham in the Bronx in New York and from Georgetown in D.C. The Jesuits run them, and the Jesuits will make sure that they do not get out of order. This is how it works, folks. So, what do we see happening? We see the Iran and the Shia mosques are now even being set on fire, where the women have thrown off their coverings and have their hair in the wind, and they're setting the Shia mosque on fire. That's exactly what the Jesuits want. The end of Shia Islam. Russia remains allied to Iran, which is necessary because Iran is Persia, and it will be with Russia when it attacks Israel in the middle of the 70th week of years of the prophet Daniel, according to Ezekiel 38. So Iran will not go into the second Sunni caliphate. It's staying with Russia. Ukraine is not breaking away. It's ultimately going to be defeated and part of Russia. That's what Togarma or Gomer of the prophecy in Ezekiel 38. So, but they're just killing white Orthodox men in Russia and in Ukraine. And the Jesuits love that, because the Orthodox people are heretics, according to the Jesuit order and their filthy Council of Trent. Yeah. So, we see also that Iran was going to bring the UK into this, because they sent a missile over and attacked the naval base of Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean, run by the UK and America. So that'll bring the British in on it. That's great. Bring the British in. They can help destroy the Shia of Iran. Just bring in the Sunni Muslims, and they can pay for it with Saudi Arabia and with Qatar, and then we can pay this mercenary force for the destruction of the Shia of Iran, while the leaders of Iran want that. They want the destruction of those people, so they keep launching their missiles. And a few of those leaders will be killed, but the most important ones, I deny that the supreme leader has been killed. I don't think so. He did exactly what he was told to do. So we go on. Yeah, Iran striking the UAE, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the richest of the Sunni Muslim nations, made rich by the oil monopoly they were given by District of Columbia here in the U.S. when they shut down Prudhoe Bay and they shut down our drilling here in this country. And Trump said, we're going to drill, baby, drill. He hasn't been drilling. That's another lie. I have a brother-in-law who works in the oil fields, and they were looking forward to lots of work. They don't have any work. He's got some cleanup job now because they shut down oil production in this country to create this bottleneck in the Strait of Hormuz that would justify military intervention there, that would result in the destruction of the Shia Islam in Iran, and that would also result in ultimately the destruction of the Temple Mount mosques to build the third Hebrew temple. Without a war in the Middle East, there is none of this happening. And so they made sure it would happen when they created this monopoly of oil shipping through the Straits of Hormuz. Well, what is it, 20% of the world's oil passes through that? What a disgrace. Russia is full of oil. Africa is full of oil. America is full of oil. We have 500 years of oil being consumed at this pace. We don't need Middle East oil. We don't need any of that. We don't need Venezuelan oil. It's all politically motivated to bottleneck where they want to have this take place, to justify a war, and then also to send our beautiful American young white men, I'm concerned about the most, off to die for nothing in a foreign war. And the reason why this happens is because their lives are full of sin. War is the price, is the penalty for sin in this life, and a lake of fire is the penalty for sin in eternity and not believing on Christ, period. So we have Trump's going to be sending U.S. troops. You like that, ladies? You like having your babies and raising your sons or whatever to send them off to die in a foreign crusade for the Pope? What a disgrace. I have a son who's 21. And I said, I got two other sons that are in the late 40s. I said, but you're not going, Jordan. You're not going. You do life in Leavenworth before you go on the Pope's crusade into the Middle East. It's not our fight. It's not a fight of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. We get the gospel to those people. We don't wage war on them. That's what the Catholics do. That's what the Crusaders do. And Protestants and Baptists are not crusaders. That's why Pete Hedges is really a Catholic. He's no Protestant. He's really a Catholic waging the crusade for the Pope with his cross of the Knight of the Equestrian Orders tattooed on his left breast and his God wills it in Latin tattooed on the underarm of his right arm. The guy's a Pape. He's a Papist. He's a Romanist calling for the crusade. And Trump's all behind it because his wife is a Roman Catholic. And Trump is fraternizing with the Catholics for Catholics. And he has 100 priests at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, why don't you think Trump is run by the Pope? He moderned his flat in the 66th floor in the Trump Towers after Louis XIV's Versailles Castle with $100 million of gold in there. He's a Louis XIV, man, run by the Jesuits. Coming out against all the atrocities done to us white men in the last 90 years since 1933, being discriminated against and beaten down and taxed to death and sent off to fight foreign wars. We white men have been beaten to death. And Trump's going to come along and give us relief? Are you kidding me? He's going to send us off to wage war in the Middle East and in the Far East. It's all planned. All you young white men are going to die when you go overseas. You're not fighting for America. Don't let anybody tell you thanks for your service. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed I was garrisoned in Germany for 3.5 years against the Soviets. Are you kidding me? Russia was a desolation after World War II. They couldn't beat the Boy Scouts, as properly proven by Dr. Stuart Crane, who taught history at Bob Jones University. No. These are all these illusions that we have to dispel. And it only happens when you have fiery good preaching. God send us some more preachers. Amen. So in Satan fulfilling his mystery of iniquity, he has to have an alignment of nations. He has to destroy certain populations. Okay? Because he loves destroying mankind because men look like God. Men are in the image of God. That's right. God the Father sits on a throne. He has a hand. And in that hand was a scroll. And he says, who is worthy to take the scroll? And he has a face God the Father looks like a man. He made man. He made Adam in his own image after his likeness and the likeness of the Son. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's another reason Satan hates man, because man looks like Almighty Jehovah God and I don't. So what are some of the end games here? First of all, there's not going to be nuclear war. I read John Rappaport regularly. He has many good posts. But one of the things he's saying is this could very well result in a nuclear exchange. There ain't no such thing as a nuclear exchange. I ferreted that out many, many years ago. If you want to read a novel on it, on how it can't happen, just get the book, The Jesus Factor. And it's a novel about Harry Truman saying the thing doesn't even work, and some other things, but the novel's correct. Many a truth is told in the form of a story. Get The Jesus Factor, read it. Get Bruce Cathy's work, Harmonic 33. He was a pilot of the New Zealand Air Force there, and he shows you that airborne nuclear war is impossible. He has another book called Harmonic 495, Airborne Nuclear War is Impossible. To have on-ground detonations, yes, when the device is in the right relationship to the sun, but there's no such thing as atomic devices in flight and moving and detonating in the air, having an airburst. That's all nonsense. Never happened in Japan. They were on-ground detonations overseen by Pedro Arrupe, for which reason he was made the Jesuit general in 1965. But we may have on-ground detonations. Tom Clancy wrote about it in his book, The Sum of All Fear? When there was an on-ground detonation in Baltimore. They have these devices in place, ready to detonate at the command of the Jesuit general and his assistants when the sun is in the right harmonic relationship to the device, depending on what season it is. So don't be surprised if we see a suitcase nuke detonated to destroy the Capitol building. And why all the hoopla of Iran getting a nuclear weapon? Why? It's to be able to blame them with their uranium enrichment for what the CIA and the intelligence community is going to do here when, on the orders of the Pope, they're going to destroy this heretic and liberal American capital for these heretic and liberal people, and they can now have a military dictator for which they so richly deserve. That's how the Jesuits are thinking. Remember their TV program, Soul Survivor, with Kiefer Sutherland? He's a soul survivor when the Capitol is just decimated with an atomic blast. Remember the movie with Bruce Willis, Live Free or Die Hard, when they apparently, it looks like they're detonating the Capitol building in Washington, the Military District of Washington, Military District of Columbia. They've told us on their TV and their Jesuit Hollywood that they're going to blow up, destroy the Capitol in Washington. Just like Hitler's Nazis destroyed the parliament in Germany in the 1930s and blamed the communists for it, they're going to destroy it here and probably blame Iran. That would incite all the people there, my God, they've destroyed the Capitol. We need to go and destroy them. And all the young, stupid white men that don't know the passage of Scripture will go sign up and think they're fighting for the country, and they're fighting for the Pope, for the decimation of the Shia, and God knows who else they're going to be pointed to kill. Meanwhile, the Capitol's not coming back. We have a military dictator. And then they're going to move the Capitol to Denver. You get the book, John Roy Carlson's work, Undercover, tells you on about page 360 there about that where the Nazis intend to move the Capitol to Denver. That's why we have the Denver airport. Blow the Capitol, move the Capitol to Denver, and then the commander-in-chief can wage war on two fronts from the mountain there, from NORAD. They got it all planned. And they got us all bamboozled because the press is controlled by the Pope and they lie to us every day with people like Lawrence McDonald and Sean Hannity. Lie, lie, lie. Oh, good Catholics busy serving the Pope, whether they be right or whether they be left. Can't believe any of them. So, when we're put under this martial law, which is the plan, they've already put in place 600 federal emergency management agency camps. That's why Hillary Clinton says these black men need to be brought to heel. Why, 21 million blacks need to be brought to these camps. That was in the Iran-Contra hearing. And none of these black Freemasons had anything to say about it. Louis Farrakhan didn't say anything. Al Sharpton didn't say anything. And the Reverend Jesse Jackass, thank God he's gone, he didn't say nothing. Because they're traitors to their own black people. Just like the white men are betraying us white people. Whether it be Trump or Catholic J.D. Vance or Catholic Kellyanne Conway and all of them members of Nash Council for National Policy, the New Right think tank and where all the money is for them. I mean, they're busy. And they want to send millions and millions of Americans to these death camps, to these FEMA death camps. One of them, the biggest, is in Anchorage, Alaska, with 1 million acres just waiting for all you blacks. Yeah, that's right. Just waiting for all you feminazis. Just waiting for all you Jews that don't escape America. And I'll tell you right now, if there's any Jews listening, you better seriously think about making Aliyah. It's going to take a year, but you better leave and you better get to Israel where you'll be 1,000 times safer, because the Jews in this country are going to be blamed for everything and they're going to be rounded up and killed, or the New Right will just have fun robbing, raping, and killing them. As the Nazis did in Europe. You're going to repeat it here. Why wouldn't they? They brought all the top Nazis out of Europe and resettled them here, thanks to Francis Cardinal Spellman and his Project Paperclip, the wicked sinner. They're going to open the death camps, persecution of the Jews. And all of this will be a result of what's unfolding now. So what do you do? Well, the first thing you need to do, my friend, is you need to be saved. You need to believe that Christ died for your sins. That Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. And that God commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn from your sin by believing the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Faith and repentance. And once you believe the gospel, the Lord will save you. He'll place you in the body of Christ. He'll see you to the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And be not drunk with wine, but be moved or controlled by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit, by whom we've been sealed to the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the appearing of Christ, also called the rapture by some other people, but I call it what the Bible calls it, appearing. So you need to be saved. Second thing, you need to, once you're saved, you need to begin to depart from iniquity. And we have all sorts of sinful habits we have in this country that have to go. One of the most sinful is apathy, refusing to be concerned about who's ruling the government. So now that you're saved, the first thing you should be thinking about, who's ruling this place? Is it the Pope and his Jesuits and his Masonic lodges? And if it is, we need to do something about it. And don't let anybody call you a conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy factualist. They are coincidence theorists. They're all coincidence theorists. Everything's a coincidence. Pearl Harbor was attacked by a coincidence. Never knew Japs were coming. Read the Day of Deceit. FDR had planned it with the Office of Naval Intelligence. So this is what's unfolding here now. And as this unfolds, my first exhortation to you is be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't let it worry you in the least. The Lord Jesus Christ rules heaven and earth. If he's your Savior, he'll take care of you. As you're staying out of sin, he won't have to chasten you. But he'll take care of you. He'll look out for you. He has a deliverance for you that he doesn't have for the unsaved. He has a protection for you that he doesn't have for the unsaved. He has a provision for you that he doesn't have for the unsaved. And since we are saved, it behooves us to tell the truth by the grace of God in what's happening. And then encourage one another. and our most holy faith, to do that which is right, to preach the gospel, to pursue our trades and our abilities that we have as we seek the Lord and by the power of the Spirit. So in conclusion, all of this is preparing for the 70th week of Daniel yet to come, when there will be a third Hebrew temple already built, when there will be an alliance between Russia and Persia or Iran and Turkey for the invasion of Israel in the middle of the week. All of this is coming into place here now. And so it's my prayer that you're saved, that you're serving the Lord, doing His will, and that you fear not. For behold, He cometh. Brother Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this March the 22nd, 2026. Please send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073, or RBPBDonate at Comcast.net if you want to use PayPal. Or you can send it to my Cash App at Cash Tag Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. Appreciate all your giving and your gifts. Desperately needed. I spend it for these kinds of things in addition to my bills that I need to pay, for which I'm thankful that you're supporting me. So until the next time we meet, may the Lord bless you as you do His will according to His word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible. Until then, Maranatha.